Welcome to Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, a lively account of Mavis McCovey, a Kudyk medicine woman. Our excerpts are read by her niece, Florin McCovey. This episode is titled, Back to Orleans.
Back to Orleans. In 1965, after 15 years of living in Yurok country, our whole family moved back to Orleans to take care of my Aunt Caroline. Very few men move out of their own country to live with their wife in another country, the way Daryl did. And when they do, it is for the same reason. I was the only one available to take care of my aunt, who had raised me like a mother. So I had to come back here to take care of her until she died. And Daryl came up here with me because I had that responsibility. I wouldn't just leave home and come up here to live with my people. I had to have a very good reason for leaving his country and coming back to mine, and his family could see that I had to do that. It was a different world up here. We had electricity and cars and better roads, and Daryl didn't even have a road when he was a kid. His road was the Klamath River. As it was, our daughters, Carol and Bevi, would go back and live with Daryl's family for months at a time. When I came back to Orleans from Yurok country, I started having visions and seeing things. I had also had visions while I was living in Wichpec, but not as often, not as profound. After I got to be older, I looked back and thought that the years downriver were that time when Daisy said I would have my happiness, when I would be truly happy and not have a care in the world outside of my life with my family and friends. But when I came back up here, I couldn't just love my family, my in-laws and my friends, all relations that I had loved in Pequon. When I got back to Orleans, I had to embrace people that I would have not been close with, but they were always around needing my help with the things they were going through in their lives. The medicine woman had told me, when you get to be around 45 years old, you will pick up your power. They kept telling me, don't worry, you'll pick it up pretty soon. I do not really believe the power comes from me. I had been told that when the time came, I would pick up my power, but in fact, the power picked me up. So I don't think the power is mine. I think I'm like a conduit, and this spiritual power is somewhat like electricity. And it comes through me when I need it, or it needs to use me. But it isn't something I walk around with all the time. I think that it comes from the spirit world when I need it. The spirit world sends me that what power I need at that time. I think that most of the time when I go on the trail over to the other side, my body stays here, and I come back to it. But I know that there were a few occasions, like the time I went to pick up power. I went in my physical form because Daryl said I was not here. When someone is asking me for something, I feel this power within me, and then I feel myself throw it out. I think that power just came from the spirit world, came through me, and went out into this world. When I say I am making the world happy, for me that is right here in this little valley. This is the world. That's the only little world I have to worry about, right here in Orleans. I don't have to worry about the other places, even around here, like Soames Bar or Bluff Creek. When I say happy, I think of smoothing the world out. At the White Deerskin Dance, the Fetewinen prays for the fish, prays for the hunting, prays for the people. After he completes that prayer on the last evening of the ceremony, he throws the power toward Offield Mountain, and I split a piece off, and it falls down on the people. And when they go back up the hill to eat, you'll hear them all laughing and talking. And then I know I've done it. People go up the hill calling back, Yutva, Fetewinen, Yutva, Fetewinen, thanking the Fetewinen for all his sacrifice in making the ceremony. They all say, Happy New Year to one another, because this is the beginning of our new year. Everyone is very happy, and we have a big feast of deer and salmon and everything else you can think of, and the young people serve the elders. The white deerskin dance is done very ritualistically when the white deerskins are brought out. This dance smooths the world out, smooths all the strife and the fighting. But the war dance is not done in a smooth, ritualistic way. It is done kind of haphazardly. And there are a lot of things that make people laugh in the dance. And that is another thing to smooth the world out and make it a happy place, to calm it down and just make it smooth. The purpose of the jump dance is to round the world, integrating the people, the trees, the fish, the earth, the deer, and the birds in the sky. We all have to survive together. The red headdresses that flop back and forth on the dancers as they move their heads are to simulate the mountains. Placed down inside these headdresses are sticks that press very tightly on your head to impress the purpose of the dance on your mind. Some of the dancers have triangular cloths with designs and hieroglyphics that hang down behind their heads, and that is for the spirit people to read. The dancers hold the basket down by their manhood, and they place their manhood, their family, and everything else between themselves and the Creator when they're praying for their family. Long Gone told me that he was praying hard at the jump dance, praying for the fish and for the world to heal. And that voice came to him that speaks to me and told him, "Don't pray for the world. The world is fine. You got to pray for the people. That's what isn't fine. The world will heal itself. The people are what you have to worry about." One thing Daryl never liked was the Fetuinen and different ones touching me. He didn't like to share me. He would ask me why they were always touching me, and I would tell him it was because I was the medicine woman. I said, "I think it gives them luck. I think that's why they do it. It's like the boys staying with the medicine man in the sweat house. Men do it for luck." There are three dance givers and dance owners in each area. They are usually a little better off. They have a little more money and a few more things. Sometimes they have regalia, but they usually have money. And they can buy food for the dance and supplies, so you can camp at the dance grounds for 10 days without having to worry about where your food is coming from. People bring food to the dances like a potluck, and there are 3 meals a day, and there's always food there for someone who just drops by and wants a sandwich. Sometimes you think you're going to eat, and the dancers get ready too quick, and you have to run down the hill to the dance, and you don't get to eat until you come back. When we moved in with my Aunt Caroline, she was 75 years old, and her age was starting to catch up with her body, but not her mind. Daryl and the children and I would get up in the morning and fix breakfast and go off to our day's work. Aunt Caroline would get up later and fix herself breakfast and then take about an hour to wash the little stack of dishes that we had left and clean the table and the drain board. She couldn't get around as well as she used to. She couldn't walk to town anymore, and making breakfast and cleaning up gave her a little something to do. Her heart was still good, but she was having little strokes that were crippling her. I had been back to Orleans for about 3 years when she fell on the porch and broke her shoulder. With a broken shoulder and arthritic knees, she couldn't use a walker anymore, so she was confined to a wheelchair and her bed. She went to a rest home, but wanted to come home really badly. They wanted to keep her in the rest home because she couldn't get around, but they were giving her drugs to keep her from fretting about coming home. The doctor told me that if I took her home, I would be responsible for killing her. I said to him that if she died, it would be of old age, and not because I had killed her, because she was old enough to die, and she would be happier at home, even if my care wasn't as good as theirs.
Listen again to Medicine Trails. Our next excerpt is titled Telepathy. Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, The Stories of Mavis McCovey, was produced by KIDE-FM for National Native American Heritage Month with the permission of Mavis McCovey, John Sotler, and Heyday Books, Berkeley, California. Our music melody by Dr. Kashan Laura Cooper. Hey,